So, if you remember on Wednesday when we discussed this seventh chapter, we're talking about that important verse in that chapter. What was that? Mattaparadaram nanyet kinchidasti dhananjaya mai sarvamidam prodam sutre maniganaiva. Verse 7. That important verse, isn't it? And it is after that Krishna started taking up individual things, item one by one. Krishna started bringing about, but to strengthen that particular verse, to strengthen what Krishna spoke in that verse. In that verse, Krishna is saying, "Matta paradaram na anyer kunje dasti dhananjaya." Arjuna, there is nothing exist in this creation. I am like a thread going through everything. Mai sarvamidam prodam sutre maniganaiva. I am the thread that is collecting, keeping the whole creation together. This, like they say, the garland with the pearls and the thread that is going through. If you touch the thread, you have touched the whole garland. So similarly, Krishna is through everyone, the whole creation, all living entities, whichever species they belong to, all the planets, all the rivers, mountains, different planetary systems, galaxies, stars, whatever we call it. In all these things, I am present as the thread. That is the point. To make us realize that, Krishna started with the verse 8. If you look, Krishna said, how do you see Krishna then in all these things? That's why he said, rasohamapsu kaunteya. First, if you are taking water, you see the taste of the water is me, he says. Krishna is saying, taste of the water is me. Prabhasmi shashi suryayoho. In the sun and moon, when you look at it, when you see the light coming from the sun and the moon, think of that as me. I am present there. That's how Krishna is giving us some clue how to see Krishna there in everything. There is no other way, Krishna says. You have to, some individual things Krishna has spoken, and he says to us, if you observe these things, then you will get a glimpse of me in all these things. To bring us back to that verse, Matta Paradaram Nanyat Kinjidasti Dhananjaya, the seventh verse. So Krishna says, let's look at this way. Rasoham apsu kaundeya, taste of the water is me. We talked about that a lot, isn't it? Prabhasmi shashi suryayoho. In the sun and the moon, that I am that light in them. That the sun is giving the sunlight because of I am present there. Just like the soul is present in us, therefore the mind is functioning, intelligence is functioning, senses are functioning, blood circulation is happening, heart is functioning, just because of his presence there. His presence is sufficient. Krishna is saying, look at the sun, and he is able to give enough sufficient light to this world just by my presence there. All that is what it is. Krishna is just present there, and Krishna's presence, all this is happening. Sashi Surya, pranava sarva vedeshu, that pranavam letter om, which is the key to the Vedic Vedas, that is me, Krishna says. Shabdakhe paurusham nurshu, the sound in the sky is me, and the ability we talked about, didn't we? What that ability means. What does that ability mean? Ability means that if in a person, if a desire for self-realization comes to him very powerfully in him, that ability is Krishna. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. If in a person a desire for self-realization happens and all his energy, force, a powerful force that is driving him away from the world to go inward looking for the truth, if such a desire happens in a person, that is Krishna. That is that Paurusham Narsho. Otherwise, if you just read the verse, ability in man. What is ability? People have got different kinds of abilities if you look at it, isn't it? Some people have ability for business. Some people have ability for management. Some people have ability for sports. Some people for music. That's not what Krishna is referring here. Here that ability refers to see Krishna in this way, that if ever you see in anyone, somewhere, he develops that intense urge to give up material life and to seek for the truth inside, who I am, Inquiry begins in him in a very powerful way. Krishna says, you should see that as me. It's me who is driving that from that person. So from that, you can see, if it's not happening, Krishna is not driving us. That's why it's not happening. That's also, the reverse is also true. Reverse is also true. Anyway, the next verse, Punyogandha Prithivyamscha. We have talked about all these things, but before we start the verse 10, Punyogandha Prithivyamscha. That smell of earth after rain, when you experience that fresh smell of the earth after the rain, Punyogandha Prithivyamscha. Tejaschasmi Vibhavasau. That Tejas, this is a word we talked, what is this Tejas means? I'll come to that later. Tejaschasmi Vibhavasau. Vibhavasau means a fire, that effulgence of the fire. And you will notice one thing, the same Tejas in the fire, Krishna uses in the next verse also, Tejas, Tejas, Vinamaham. If you look at those two verses, 9 and 10, in the verse 10, he says, Tejas chasmi vibhavasau. Isn't it? And Krishna again says, Tejas, Tejas, Vinamaham. So, there are two places, the Tejas has to be understood in two different ways. The Tejas in the verse 9 is Tejas chasmi vibhavasau. That means the fire's effulgence, that is one Tejas, one kind of Tejas. Why is fire attractive to us? Because of that fire, heat or whatever. That here it says temperature. But basically what it is the attraction towards the fire. We all get attracted to fire, isn't it? Everybody enjoys. That's why they set a fire on the M1 motorway underneath that. Let them enjoy. Some boys did that. The police was chasing them after that. Oh. So, they were doing out of fun. They just wanted to enjoy the fire. So, anyway, that fire is attractive. That effulgence, that fiery nature. But sometimes we say, isn't there's a fire in that person, we say, isn't it? It's got fire in him. Someone has some fire, we say, oh, he's got that fire in him. Some people like that, isn't it? So, what's that fire? That is another fire. Here, Tejas chasmi vibhavaso. Vibhavaso means in the fire, Agni, that fire in him, that fire, the heat and that potency of that fire, that affects people. Krishna says, that's me. Then, Jivanam Sarvabhudeshu, in everyone there is a desire to live, isn't it? Somehow we want to live in this world. In spite of all the problems and miseries, cheating, lying, everything that's going on here, still we are willing to put up with this and somehow wants to survive here. That's why when we ask someone, how are you, say, not too bad. It comes from that. Still, it's not too bad. Why? Jivanam Sarvabhudeshu, it's there inside him. Krishna says, I am that. If you notice that in someone, when you ask somebody, that how are you, and he says, it's not too bad, that is Krishna. That is Krishna is answering back to you, Jivanam Sarvabhudeshu. He has got the desire to live in this world, still there, he hasn't gone. If that is gone, then everything is gone, finished, life is over. Then after that, isn't it? In spite of so much misery in this material world, material life and problems with the body, that's why when we get sick, we still want to see if we can get it cured. Although we know this body will eventually go. Knowing still, we are trying to sort it out somehow. We'll try our best as we can. And if it works, fine. Ultimately, if nothing works, it goes. What can you do? We'll think like that, isn't it? So, that is why it's important. Understand Krishna in this way. If you don't, otherwise, if you simply see Krishna in the temple as the deity and go every morning, pay your obeisances and come back, that's no good. Understanding Krishna in this way, that's why knowledge of the absolute, the title itself is Jnana Yogam. How one should understand Krishna? That is why it's spoken like that. So, Jivanam Sarvabhudeshu, and what else? Tapas Chasmi Tapasvishu. Among those who have got tapas, I am that tapas in there. Tapas we have discussed earlier also. Now, before that, if you look, you will see some interesting comments from Prabhupada on that verse. Text 8. If you look there, purport, if you read, we have a lot of misunderstandings in our head. That's why I'm saying that is due to hearing from sources which are not very properly understood things. That's all. You'll see Prabhupada's one statement there. The impersonalist receives. Can we see that? Yes. Impersonal perceives the presence of the Lord in water by its taste. And the personalist also glorifies the Lord for his kindly supplying water to quench man's thirst. This is the difference between impersonalism and personalism. That's all it is. Krishna is probably saying that he perceives the presence of the Lord in water by its taste, and the personalist also glorifies the Lord for his kindly supplying water to quench man's thirst. That is the way of perceiving the Supreme Personality speaking. There is no conflict between personalism and impersonalism. Now, we have taken it up as a business in our life. Anyone? Now, I don't think you need any more proof than this. Right? If you understand these sentences, even Prabhupada is recognizing that this personal, impersonal and all that, it's not Krishna didn't create these two categories to fight each other day and night. If that was the purpose, he could have done it in a different way. What it is that in self-realization, both the processes do work. Both processes do work. Jnanam will help people, they'll go in the Jnana Margam. Not that they are all fools and idiots, and we are the intelligent ones in this world. If it was like that, I can only say that our understanding of spiritual life is very much, very, very, very basic level in that state. So you read through that, he says here, practically there is no conflict between personalism and impersonalism. One who knows God knows that the impersonal conception and personal conception are simultaneously present in everything, and that there is no contradiction. There is no contradiction about that. Because if we don't accept this principle, Bhagavad Gita will be very difficult to understand. Because Krishna's presence in the Bhagavad Gita, simply as a person, is difficult also, and simply impersonal level is also difficult. Both are difficult. Actually, Krishna is present there as a person, Krishna is present there as a impersonal level also. He is present in the Bhagavad Gita. Different. Otherwise, to explain verses become very difficult. To explain certain verses become very difficult. So, that is one important thing to notice. That is in reference to Rasohamatsu Kaundeya. Krishna says this commentary in the Bhagavad Gita. Normally, what would he do? We'll say, all those Mayavadis, bang them, kill them, or shoot them. But what can you do? So, people who have studied Bhagavad Gita from a different way, they will find it very difficult. They'll see our ignorance in that we haven't understood anything about Bhagavad Gita. This is why this happens, is because we pick up certain verses and then we hold on to that and thinking that I've understood Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavad Gita is not in that way understood. So, Punyoganda Prativyamsta. Anyway, verse 9, Tejaschasmi Vibhavasu Jivanam Sarabhudeshu Tapaschasmi Tapasvishu. I think that is a verse we were discussing last Wednesday. Yeah. So we'll continue from that. Now, what did we say there? We talked about certain things. That. Yes, we talked also about the next verse. Bijammam sarvabhudhanam vidhi partha sanatanam buddhi buddhimatam asmi tejas tejasvinamaham. Bijammam sarvabhudhanam vidhi partha sanatanam buddhi buddhimatam asmi tejas tejasvinamaham. So here what we have to understand is that the in this verse there are some things which is important, what we talked about, yes. Then, Vidhi Partha Sanatanam Buddhi Buddhimatam Asmi Tejas Tejasvinamaham. So, we are talking about that Tejas, isn't it? We talked about that example. What was example? Example was that it is not with the intelligence we understand. We don't understand with the intelligence. That's what we talked about, isn't it? Remember an example we spoke in the ashram, in Ravana Maharshi's ashram, that all these monkeys came and one of them got killed by the stone which were thrown, and monkey was lying there. All the other many monkeys were crying because of the death, and Maharshi went and spoke to them and told them, don't cry, everyone who has born has to die. On a spiritual level, he was explaining to the monkeys, and the devotees came and said, why you are talking to the monkeys? He said, you people never understood, I have spoken to you all on, let me try with the monkeys. And his position point was that we have this misunderstanding that spiritual realization can only happen in the human body. And that is what Krishna is saying, it's not like that. It's not like that. It can happen in any body. Because who is taking the instruction? It's not the mind and the intelligence. So much conditioned by mind and intelligence, we are always thinking that, oh, I have to understand this and then I will get realization. Remember that? That we are always under the impression that karpanyam comes. Remember that karpanyam? Karpanyam means kripanada. Kripanada means that in our karmi life or material life, we have learned one thing. We have to do something, the result must come. That word karpanyam itself is like that. Kar, pa, kar, pa, kar, pa. We got used to that. That concept. That is called karpanyam. I'll do something, I must get it something. In the same way, when we come to spiritual life also, we are bringing the same understanding into it. And we are thinking, oh, I have to do something, then I should get something. I will do this all my life and in the end I will get spiritual realization. But that is not how spiritual knowledge works. This is the only field which is not dependent on what you do. What you do is not what decides the result. Result is not dependent on what you have done. Otherwise, Krishna's mercy has no meaning. If it was simply doing was the whole principle, then people who have done most must get the best result. But we don't see that way happening. Somewhere a lot of people are working, doing a lot of things, somebody else somewhere realizing the truth. Why is it like that? So that shows that it's not dependent on the effort that you have put in, because this can get too much into your head, this doing business, and it will drive you mad at the end. Everybody will tell you, do this, do this, do this, do this. And you'll do so much in life, at the end, what has happened? Nothing will happen. But so doing is not the answer to the problem. Doing is not the answer to the problem. So coming to, I was discussing that, so realizing the truth is not with the intelligence. It's not with the intelligence. So who will understand? Nobody knows. If Krishna has given the mercy to the monkey will also understand that nothing is going to stop the monkeys from realizing the truth. So Maharshi's point was like that, and he was speaking to them from that. Jnanis will only speak like that. Realized souls will only speak like that. They won't think in terms of, oh, the person who has come to see me today is a big businessman or a big rich person, so I'll speak to him a little bit more about spiritual life. In fact, on the other hand, it is the one who will not understand anything. The chances are someone who is in a different, who is have more mercy from Krishna, he is the one who will understand about that. So, anyway, so I mentioned also the example of Ramachandra talking to Jadayu about it, isn't it? He said there, sarvatra ghalu drishyante sadhavo dharmacharina. Even among the sadhus, sarvatra ghalu drishyante sadhavo dharmacharina. Even other species of all species, you can see, Ramchandra is saying to Lakshmana, that pointing out to Jadayu, look at, he is only a bird. But he got that mercy to do some service. In other words, he was willing to fight for protecting Sidadevi with Ravana. In the process, he lost both his wings and he fell. And Ramchandra arrived there, and after Jadayu died, Ramchandra performed all the rituals associated with, like he did for Dasharatha, he performed the everything for Jadayu. When Dasharatha died, Bharat came and informed Ramchandra that Dasharatha has left this world. Then Ramchandra performed, because he is the eldest son, he performed everything for the ceremonies associated with that. And similarly, when Jadayu died, Ramchandra, with the same feelings, he performed all the ceremony for Jadayu for what he did. So he mentions there also that this person, it is not by explaining things that we understand spiritual life. It's not by explaining things. That is a misunderstanding. By explaining, everything will be clear. So it's nobody's fault. It is nobody's fault. When Krishna's mercy comes, then everything will become clearer. When everything becomes clearer. So, even if you have all the books in this world in your at your home, and if till the point that Antaryami, Krishna inside, is giving you that push from inside, that nobody can do anything. Nobody can do anything. That is how spiritual life is. You may have all the knowledge, all the books in this world, and you may have the best spiritual master. Even then, if from inside Krishna has not given that opening up, that ignorance inside, and allow you to have it, you are not going to have it. You are not going to get. That is how spiritual life works. That's why spiritual life works. Because why I am saying this is, we have this misconception, if I do something, I'll get it. It is so deep rooted inside, and you will bring that into spiritual life also. What Krishna is saying is that you may do everything what you want to do or what you can do in this world, results need not come. Till Krishna, who is present inside as the Antaryami, he decides that you can have it, only then you will have it. Before that, you will never have it. This realization of the soul, spiritual realization in other words. So, till that vivegam, that's the word Krishna uses, vivegam, that discrimination comes, even not only if Lord Brahma give you instruction or Lord Shiva give you instruction, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And so there's no hope at all. In the Ashtavakra Gita, you will see there, Ashtavakra was talking to King Janaka about this, and he says there that there is no point, he says, that discussing about this to that extent. Haro yad yubadeshtade hari kamala jobiva tadhabina tavaswastyam sarva vismarana dyude. Ashtavakra Maharshi is saying to Janaka, to King Janaka, that Haro yad yubadeshtade hari kamala jobiva. Doesn't matter, Hara Shiva, he gives you instruction, or Hari gives you instruction, Hari Vishnu gives you instruction, or Kamala Jobiva, or Brahma gives you instruction, doesn't matter. Tadhabina tava swastyam sarva visparanadyude. Till whoever gives you instructions on that, then till you are situated on, you are ready for it. Receptivity inside, if that has not happened, it will not materialize. It will not materialize. Self-realization won't happen. That means, you can see from the Bhagavad Gita also, we talked about this before, that Krishna was so close to Arjuna as a friend. Isn't it? He was so close to him. And he could have spoken Bhagavad Gita another time, rather than in that Kurukshetra, in the middle of the battlefield. Why it was brought in the middle of the battlefield? This question is there all the time. They had been friends together for a very long time. They went together to the forest. They enjoyed their life together as friends. They slept in the same room, ate together, and so many activities they have done together. At no time, Krishna felt like instructing Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He was always stayed aloof from that. Not only that, as I said before, the best opportunity was when he was a sannyasi. When Arjuna became a sannyasi, isn't it? That means, sannyasi means what? Sannyasi will be only interested in spiritual life, spiritual knowledge. So, you cannot get a better candidate than a sannyasi to hear Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So, if Krishna wanted to introduce Bhagavad Gita, he could have done that at time when he has come as a sannyasi. He didn't instruct at that time. At that time, Krishna, this sannyasi's mood was different. Sannyasi was in a different mood. So, that particular time, Krishna was not ready to instruct Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. It is not that we must understand what this instruction means. We are just thinking, oh, Krishna had all the 700 verses in his head. When he saw Arjuna, when can I tell all the 700 verses to Arjuna? So, this is not how spiritual life works. Spiritual life is, the person who is receiving, he has to be ready. And the person who speaks has to be ready, both sides. Only then it will have its effect on that. So that is why Krishna became ready to speak to Arjuna at that battlefield when Arjuna was ready for it. So Arjuna's preparation is important. If Arjuna was not ready, that would not have happened. That would not have. Only in that situation, Arjuna felt like asking the questions. First of all, that surrender in Arjuna. Only then Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, isn't it? Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. I surrender unto you, please instruct me. So that is the first requirement, that surrender in him. It's not something you can do artificially, that surrender. That surrender has to happen in a natural way. In a natural way. So, this is a important thing. So, many instances, you will notice this. Some great Mahalpa is living there. And he will give spiritual instructions to people depending on the person's qualification. Not that you have just gone to him, he's going to instruct you. And that is also arranged by Krishna. In other words, one Mahalpa says about this, that many people used to come to him. So his nephew asked him one day, "You always seem to talk to people which are not of significance. Sometimes some important people come to see VIPs, isn't it? Who are fast-tracked through all the queue and brought to the front. You will see that on Janmashtami day. Fast-tracking goes on all the time. Now sannyasam is also fast-tracked sometimes to go like that. So what it is that when they come, you know, in the ashrams and mutts and all that, there will be a lot of people who are into this kind of things. They will see who is coming to the ashram. And their job is to particularly give importance to them, their VIPs. So we'll have a separate booth for the VIPs and separate darshan for them. All these kind of things goes on. So, and they'll have justification for that. But the realized soul is not interested whether he is a VIP or not a VIP. He is seeing it in a different way. Has the person got genuine interest in knowing the truth? This is what he is seeing. He is not looking at it whether he is a prime minister or a president or whatever it is. So what happened was, to this particular personality, lot of great people were coming, lot of ordinary people were coming. Ordinary people mean some people who are coming from different backgrounds in life. Somebody who are very suffering in life, someone who is very inquisitive, and someone else who is in high positions and all that. So when many times people observe, you know, the people who are around him, they will be very particular that, oh, he gets a very special audience with the Mahalma, and they will make all arrangements to him, have a private conversation and all that. So Maharshi used to sit quiet when they come. He won't speak. He won't say anything to them. They'll come. They'll sit there for 1 hour, 2 hours, and they'll walk out. And he'll also stay quiet. Won't say anything about it. So this happened many times in the ashram. So some of them said to him that we are bringing all these VIPs to you and you don't say anything to them. But sometimes you take so much time to talk to the cow or to talk to someone whom you think that is very important. You know what the answer he gave? He says, when I see these VIPs, nothing comes from inside to tell them anything. When I see the cow and some of these people, automatically something is coming from inside to tell them the truth, So what I'm saying is that even that is controlled. It is Krishna's arrangement that it happens like that. You can see it's also, if you go and sit in front of a great Mahatma like that who is speaking, suddenly you will find somebody pulls the shutter inside. Nothing will go in. The mind stops there. All these experiences you will notice in Salsangam also this happens. So whatever that is, Krishna has decided that is what will happen. What is destined? That alone will happen. So, otherwise, what it means is that, so, you can see that sometimes people say this, that depending on certain people who have no that spiritual desire inside, if they come and sit inside, some friend of you, then it is very difficult. Nothing comes out from inside to say anything. It's very difficult to say anything. But some places you can see sometimes some people with that inquisitiveness and that desire to know and desire for self, automatically without anyone saying, things will come. Things will come. So to such an extent that that power controls all of us. All of us. So it controls every one of us in our spiritual life. In our spiritual life. So when to pull the shutter inside, that's decided inside. That person decides inside. You may go and sit in the company of a great Mahatma, but when you come back, you will have no experience probably. No realization at all. This will happen also. Why? Because somebody has decided inside to pull the shutter down and you won't receive anything. This is such an important thing. So that is exactly what it's saying here, that Arjuna also, when he came in a sannyasi dress, Krishna could have spoken Bhagavad Gita, he didn't do it. Because even at that point, inside Krishna, that thought never happened. On the other hand, what did Krishna say to Arjuna? Arjuna, do you want to marry Subhadra? If you want to marry her, tell me. I'll make the arrangements for you. Not one word on spiritual life Krishna spoke to Arjuna at that time. Can you imagine that? That Arjuna came to Dwaraka and he sat there underneath the tree. You know that background, isn't it? In the 10th canto. And who went there first? Balaram goes there. Balaram says, a great sannyasi has come to our village. We should honor him. Krishna says to Balaram, don't trust any of these sannyasis, he says. You don't know what they are up to. Krishna takes opposite attitude with Balaram. Balaram says to him, you are always very offensive to these sannyasis. I don't know what misfortune is going to happen to us. Balaram is saying to the younger brother. Krishna is saying, whatever it is, you are the elder brother, I will follow you, whatever you say. Krishna's diplomacy. Krishna says to Balaram, whatever you decide, I'll follow. If you want to bring him over. But let me tell you, be careful. That's all. In a very indirect way, warned Krishna, warns Balaram. And Balaram goes with all his entourage to bring this great personality, sannyasi Arjuna, to Dwaraka. And brings him in. And big reception and all arrangements. And then Subhadra's marriage is due, Subhadra has to be married. So Balaram's firm belief, based on the Vedic tradition, that Subhadra should look after Balaram and provide all the facilities so that Balaram will bless him. He doesn't know it is Arjuna at that time. This sannyasi will give all the mercy and bless Subhadra so she'll get a proper marriage. All this is going through Balaram's mind. And Krishna is saying, he's seeing from the beginning itself the whole drama, what's going on. So he comes there and Subhadra stays there and Arjuna was staying there as the sannyasi. Within a couple of days they understood what purpose Arjuna had come and Subhadra has also made up her mind. And after that, all arrangements were made by Krishna. Knowing very well, Balaram would not like it. And when Arjuna abducted Subhadra and ran with the chariot and everything, left this place, Balaram comes furious. And Balaram started roaring at Krishna for what he has done. Krishna says, I've told you from the very beginning and you never trusted me. Now what can I do? He says. So all these machining or what they call the mechanisms were all constructed by Krishna. Never once had one spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. He never thought this is the right time. Arjuna is not in a mood to hear. And Arjuna didn't want Bhagavad Gita at that time. If you told Bhagavad Gita at that time, Arjuna will say to Krishna, we'll talk about that later. Give me Subhadra now, let me go away from here. This would be Arjuna's reaction, knowing very well Krishna has done like that. So, what did he say is, he didn't give instructions to him. So, to give that spiritual instructions, Tattvabhadesham it is called, Tattvam, to instruct that spiritually, it was not a very favorable situation. Not at all favorable. Because Arjuna has not become a disciple yet. Arjuna has not become a disciple yet. So, strictly speaking, It is this preparation, this manifestation of the desire for self-realization, that is what is actually necessary in spiritual life. Not building ashrams, temples and all that. That is all secondary things. If it happens, it happens. That's all. And there is no guarantee why just because you built a temple or an ashram, it's all going to happen. This is misunderstanding. This is misunderstanding. That because I built this temple, I built this ashram, everyone who comes there will get self-realized and go back. No. It will happen if a person develops this intense desire or develops that consciousness of Arjuna, who had that mood at the time when he surrendered to Krishna. At that time, Arjuna's good fortune that Krishna decided to instruct him on the spiritual knowledge, and it worked. You can see that it worked straight away. But not otherwise. Otherwise, it's not something which you can organize and manage with your efforts. It won't work. It won't work. Okay, you can run an institution, you will have people, you will follow the process and all that, but that's another thing. That's an institutional level. But when it comes to the truth, if it has to work and be effective on a person to realize the truth, that will only happen when that person inside, Antaryami, Krishna inside, gives that push from inside. Now he is ready for it. Only then that will happen. So, so that is why Arjuna felt that in the battlefield. Arjuna felt that in the battlefield. And battlefield is the most unsuitable place for spiritual instruction, isn't it? Is it not? In battlefield, what is there? Full of ragadvesham. So much hate and so much anger. This is battlefield, isn't it? Kauravas and Pandavas, they stood each other and both wanted to finish up the other side. And they were ready to kill each other, which means the ragam and dvesham, hate inside, has reached its top state. And Duryodhana was ready to, doesn't matter what happens, he has organized everyone to fight and kill the Pandavas and wipe them out from this planet. That was Kauravas, Duryodhana's plan. On the other hand, Bhima was burning inside. Bhima says, this is the old last opportunity I have. If I don't do it now, it's not going to happen. And he had such a hate towards Duryodhana and others, including Arjuna also in the same state. So it is not the right place for speaking Bhagavad Gita. But then why was Bhagavad Gita presented in the battlefield? This is the question. Ideally, spiritual knowledge is always revealed in the forest to the sages. And in places like that, where the sages have lived a life like that, and spiritual knowledge came received through from that state. But here you see in Bhagavad Gita's case a big difference. Bhagavad Gita is particularly special in that sense. It begins with a blind person talking. Blind man. Can you imagine an auspicious literature like Bhagavad Gita, which is considered to be the science of self-realization? Yeah, it begins with a blind man talking with his words, isn't it? And it's all distress in the beginning. Whole Arjuna Vishada Yogam, it is the first chapter. So whole thing begins from a distressed state. The whole science of the soul begins from a distressed condition. And with all that in the background, Krishna decided to speak Bhagavad Gita at that point to Arjuna. The reason being that the in spite of everything, Shishyasteham Shadimam Tvam Prabhannam, that verse in the second chapter, because it is there that Arjuna became qualified to hear Bhagavad Gita. It is at that point from inside Arjuna that proper, genuine desire to know the truth has come. Up to that point, Arjuna was more interested in his other things, what he spoke in the first chapter. So, there are examples like this in the Upanishads also. Janaka went to Ashtavakra. Ashtavakra is instructing Janaka. Janaka Maharaj says to Ashtavakra, please instruct me. At that time, Ashtavakra says, surrender first and come down from there. Janaka was on the top of a horse. And he was sitting on the top of the horse and says to Ashtavakra Maharshi, and you know the Ashtavakra's body is full of crookedness, isn't it? It's eight places the body is bent. That's how the name came, Ashtavakra. So, and but he was a realized soul, highly realized soul. So Janaka Maharaj asked him, please instruct me on spiritual life. Ashtavakra says to him, first you surrender and come down to this level. Immediately, what did Janaka do? He stood up on the top of the horse and says to Ashtavakra, I surrender unto you now. Please instruct me, he says. So surrender is a key thing in the process. Surrender is the key thing. After surrender, whatever has been instructed will work. Whatever has been instructed will work. But otherwise, if you make it all very ritualistic, that I have surrendered, now yes, instant, but nothing has worked. Because there was no surrender, there was no instruction either. Either way, it hasn't happened. So here you can see this intelligence, what we are talking about. Where is this intelligence? It's not the brain that they are referring to. It's not the intelligence. Because we try to capture everything with our intelligence. Intelligence has no value there. Tattva jinyasa. That is a word used in the Bhagavadam. Jivasya tattva jinyasa nathayas cheha karmabhi. Tattva jinyasa should be there. And that tattva jinyasa, when it will come in a person, how it will come, when it will come, you can never say about that. You can never say about in what situation it will happen. And that in order to have that tattva jinyasa, that all things what is spoken in the karma kandam of the Vedas, to create this tattva jinyasa in a person. That's the importance of karma kandam in the Vedam. In Vedam, karma kandam is the majority of it, part of Vedam is karma kandam. Jnana kandam, vasana kandam is very small. Practically you can say 70-80% of Vedam is karma kandam. So purpose of karma kandam is to create this tattva jinyasa in a person. Tattva jinyasa is not intelligence or mind. That urge inside to realize the self, to free oneself from this cycle of birth and death. It is the most difficult thing to create in a person. We will say all these things. Oh, I want to go back home, back to Godhead. I want to go to spiritual world. As soon as you come out of the street, what will you say? Where shall I eat now? Where should I go? Where should I go for some enjoyment? This way mind goes. This is not tattva jinyasa. Tattva jinyasa, what Krishna is talking about is this. That intense desire inside to escape from the cycle of birth and death. And that urge inside has to come by Krishna's mercy from within. And when that happens, that is the time when instruction has to be given on the soul. That is where all the Mahavakyams are spoken. Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, I am Atman Brahma, Pratyanam Brahma. All these kind of instructions are given at that time. So, once Tattva Jitnyasa happens in a person, everything else is complete. If that is there, even if there is something missing, other things like Veda Shastram or knowledge of the Shastram, Karmam, even if they are not perfect, doesn't matter. For example, we may think that Shastric knowledge is important. Shastric knowledge is important, that stage. Shastram is there only to create this Tattva Jinyasa. If Tattva Jinyasa happens in a person in a powerful way, then even if Shastram is not there, or karmam is also not perfect in a person, it hardly matters. Because he's got jivasya tattva jinyasa. You will see this word tattva jinyasa used in the Bhagavadam in many, many places. To get this tattva jinyasa is the most difficult thing. You remember, Vasudeva and Devaki, they had Krishna as their son. Krishna told them that you should look at me as your son and you should also know me as Brahmam, the truth. Absolute truth. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Simply looked at Krishna as their son. And it is after the many, many years living in Dwaraka, then they went to this solar eclipse in Samanda Panchakam, in Kurukshetram. Even there it didn't happen. Again, Vasudeva and Devaki is thinking Krishna is our son. Krishna is our son. So finally Krishna decided, somebody has to speak to them properly, and he sent Narada Maharshi to go and talk to them. And then Narada Maharshi went there, and Vasudeva and Devaki started waking up a little bit and started seeing that everything has an end in this world And one day, is all of us also going to die? Vasudeva and Devaki also going to die? And what will happen? These thoughts came to them. They took it for granted that Krishna is our son, everything is taken care of. There is no guarantee. Just because Krishna has come as their son, there is no guarantee that Vasudeva and Devaki will go back, come back to Godhead, or no more birth. The only thing that could Krishna says to them was that Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasakra chindayando kadasneham. You show your attachment for me as Brahman, as Supreme Truth, and then you can look after me as your child. But that didn't happen. That's why Sri Narada Maharshi brought this conversation between King Nimi and the Navayogis. That Nimi Navayogi Samvadam. Sri Narada Maharshi quotes that to explain that to whom? To Vasudeva and Devaki, isn't it? So, you will see Krishna is saying here that once that kind of intelligence develops, which intelligence? This Tattva Jijnyasa. Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa develops inside. Krishna is saying here, if that develops in a person, that presence is me. That is me. That is the point. If you see that is developing in a person, that's me. Krishna says like that. Isn't it? So you will notice the same thing in the Bhagavatam also. In the second canto, when the second canto begins with this verse, that when Parikshit asked this question, Sukadeva Goswami arrived in the first canto. End of first canto, Sukadeva Goswami arrives. Isn't it? Sukadeva Goswami arrives in the end of first canto. And the conversation begins in the second canto, Rajovacha. King is asking, Variya Neshadam Prashna Krito Lokahitam Nrupa and Atmavit Samadha Pumsam Shrotra Vyadishu Yenaha. He says, Variya Neshadam Prashna. As soon as the Parikshit asked the question, the Sukadeva Goswami is saying to him that the question you have asked is very important. Variya Neshadam Prashna. The question you have raised is very important. Because Krito Lokahitam Nrupa, it is for the benefit of the whole world. It's for the benefit of the whole world. Why? Atmavit Samadha Pumsam. Self-realized soul will appreciate your question. Atmavit. Atmavit means one who knows or realizes the truth. They appreciate your question. Not the other people in this world. They won't appreciate your question. Shrota Vyadishta Yaparaha. That what I should hear at the time of death. That was the question from Parikshit, isn't it? Parikshit asked this question to Sudeva Goswami. What should one hear? What should one chant? What should one remember at the time when the death is standing right in front of you? And when this question came from Parikshit, Sudeva Goswami understood that this force has woken up in Parikshit. Otherwise, Parikshit is not a person who would have asked that question. Parikshit's question is very important. Parikshit is asking this question, what should I chant? A person who is facing death, one who knows that he has only 7 days to live in this world, what should he do? What should we remember? What should he remember? What should we chant? What should he hear? This was his question. And when he heard this question, Sukadeva Goswami sensed that powerful forces woken up in Parikshit. And how is that? That is what he says here. Variya Neshadam Prashna. That Variya Neshadam Prashna Krito Lokahitam Nrupa. My dear king, the question is very prominent. Because you have asked that question, I can answer that and it will benefit a lot of people because of that. Because of the gravity of that question. How many people ask that question in this world? When they have got 7 days to die. Even if you know you are dying, we don't ask that such kind of questions, do we? We will ask some other silly questions. Whether have you sorted out my bank account, or have you written your will, or who is getting what. All these kind of issues will come at the time. If there is any strength left in that body still. So, but here, Atmavit Samadha Pumsam. Atmavit, self-realized personalities. This question is appreciated by Atmavit or the realized soul. They will glorify that. Krito Lokahitam Nrupa. So by this one question alone, you have blessed the whole world, he says here. Because this question is not coming from the mind, it's coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. Only from the soul such a question can come. Mind will not, because at that point, when you know that death is certain, you are going to die in 7 days' time. Parikshit knows very well, I have to come out of this mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence was there only to conduct your vyavaharam in this world. It's finished now. Its role is over. So, by genuinely, when a question comes like that, the Sukadeva Goswami will answer that question. Because the question was so genuine, and the question was coming from deep down, from the heart, not from the mind or the intelligence. I'm sure you can understand what that means, isn't it? That there is a difference here, that in mundane life, we will do many things with mind and intelligence. We'll manage our life with mind and intelligence. But when death is coming and you know that your very existence in this body is finished, then from the core of your heart the questions will come. It's very understandable, isn't it? Very understandable. Just like in the past, when somebody is, the judge has decided to hang someone. Now, normally they hang people. Of course, here it is not anymore in practice, but in India still hanging is a punishment, capital punishment, isn't it? It's there. So it's done mostly in the morning, early hours in the morning. And the people who do it, they also have a difficult state, but the crime is so severe. And he has tried to go through all the courts. Courts have rejected. Finally, appealed for pardon from the president. President also has refused. That case, it has to be executed. So they are hung in the morning. But before that, in the evening, the judge will say to him, "Do you have any desire in life? If anything, desire in life." Now, at that time, when he answers that question, he will not take into consideration anything else, would he? That at that point, he knows death is waiting in the morning. He has to leave this body. So whatever that comes from him at that point, it's coming from the soul. It's not coming from the mind or the intelligence. So we all have this in us. When you are put on the spot, death right in front of you, you know very well, it's all over. It's all over. It's finished. At that point, this mind and intelligence will withdraw from you. Mind and intelligence won't come in force. That's when the soul will deal with the situation at that time. That's what has happened with Parikshit. Varyan Yashadam Prashna Kritoloka. That is why Sukadeva Goswami says, the question you have asked is so valid because it's coming from the proper source. In other words, if you have not got that seriousness inside, you couldn't ask that question at that point. You will still be asking, how I can escape from death? Is there any way, any shortcut? Can we do something about Takshaka? Can we do something about Sringi, who cursed me, to put another curse? Somebody could curse it and then withdraw the whole thing away. Is there any shortcut to get out of it? That's what normally a person would look for. But Parikshit didn't ask that. That is why Sukadeva Goswami says your answer is coming from the heart. Whereas if you have spoken, Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami would have spoken in a different way. Variyan Eshadam Prashna Krato Logahidam Nrupa. He says like that. So, that question coming from a person like that, that is Krishna's mercy. Krishna is saying here, Buddhir Buddhimadham Asmi. So this word Buddhi, you should not get confused with our material intelligence. That is no value here. It's only on the spiritual platform all these things are spoken about. Bijam Mam Sarva Bhoganam Vidhi Partha Sanatanam Buddhi Buddhimadham Asmi Tejas Tejasvinamaham. That's what Krishna is saying there, isn't it? So Buddhir Buddhimadham Asmi means this. To ask that question from the core of the heart to the person who is qualified to give you that message, give you that instruction. And that buddhi That is what Krishna calls it as buddhi, buddhimadam asmi. Not any other buddhi. All other buddhi is all useless. When it comes to that final point, when you have to leave this world, all these things, kind mind, intelligence, senses, they can't help you. Nobody can help us at that point. Krishna is saying, at that point, if this question is coming inside you, to ask that right thing, to do the right thing, or to ask the right question, buddhir buddhimadam asmi. That buddhi is me. Among them, that buddhi is me. In other words, without Krishna's mercy, it won't happen. It won't happen. To stress this point again and again, that it is not in our hands, our spiritual life. Our spiritual life is not in our hands. It is not by doing something that the result will come. All these misconceptions has to be taken out from there. Whether he is a jnani, yogi, bhakta, whatever, it doesn't matter. It is Krishna who runs our spiritual life. Our spiritual life is Krishna's hands. When that mercy comes from Krishna, everything happens in spiritual life. If the mercy is not coming, you can chant whole lifetime, you can do so many things, whatever you have been told to do, but nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. It is not in our hands, it is in Krishna's hands. That is why these verses are important in Bhagavad Gita. If you understand these verses, unnecessary endeavor in spiritual life in the wrong way, you can avoid. You can avoid. Where surrender is, when will that happen? That one happens when surrender is complete. When Krishna alone is the shelter, when we come to that point, that surrender is the key to that. But that surrender is also in Krishna's hands. Krishna puts you to so much distress in life that you have no alternative except to surrender. That is when you proper surrender. Otherwise, surrender also won't happen. To such an extent, to Krishna is saying here that that question comes, buddhir buddhimadam asmi. Then Krishna is saying here, tejas tejasvinam aham. Here, tejas is different than the tejas in the last verse. There, Krishna was saying there that tejas as the tejas chasmi vibhavaso, Krishna says. That tejas is one thing. But what is this tejas? This is more interesting than the other tejas. Other tejas you may understand that the fire, Agni has a tejas. All fire has a tejas, an attraction. That a fire's tejas is important, isn't it? The heat as well as that, the light that the fire throws. But here what is that tejas? Tejas, tejas, svinamaham. What does that mean? In the translation, if you look, it says here that, and the prowess of all powerful men. Prowess of all powerful men. How would you understand? Explain that? Prowess of all powerful men means, this is very subtle thing. If you understand it, it's very interesting also. You see, when Krishna went to seek Duryodhana, Pandavas sent Krishna to negotiate, didn't he? Krishna went to see Kauravas, Duryodhana. Krishna had to go and see Duryodhana. And Krishna had to negotiate with Duryodhana to avoid the war. So, Dhritarashtra was there. This example will get you understand better. Dhritarashtra was there, Bhishma was there, and everyone else was there. Everybody else was there. So, Duryodhana knew that Krishna is coming. And Krishna is coming to negotiate. So Duryodhana felt, oh, they are coming to us to negotiate. So they must be frightened of us. This is Duryodhana's head working like that. So he said to everyone, you know, all his silbandis, or what do they call it? The those who are with Duryodhana, his men, henchmen. Mm-hmm. So he told all his henchmen, there are a lot of kings who are reporting to local small kingdoms, who are reporting to Duryodhana. Duryodhana was like a big man. So he told all of them that when Krishna walks in, nobody should get up. Nobody should get up. We want to teach him a lesson when Krishna comes. We want to teach him a lesson. Nobody should get up. He is strong. And if I see anyone getting up, the head will go. He told them. Very firmly he put this condition on all the kings. Right? All of them. He put this condition on them. When Krishna walked in, the first person who got up was Duryodhana. Can you imagine that? That is that line. Tejas, Tejasvinamaham. That is Tejas. How did that happen? That is what you have to understand. How does this happen? Duryodhana said to everyone, nobody should get up. Nobody got up. But when Duryodhana himself got up, all others got up. Along with him. Everybody else got up. So, this is what Krishna is saying here. The word used is pragalbhyam. Krishna's, in the commentary you will notice, the word used is pragalbhyam. Otherwise, if you just read it this way, that it will says here, that the bijamam sarvabhudanam vidhi partha sanatanam buddhir buddhimadam asmi tejas tejasinamaham. He says here, tejaha pragalbhyam. Pragalbhyam tadvadham tejasvinam aham. That pragalbhyam, pragalbhada it is called. That is the word in Sanskrit. Pragalbhyam. Pragalbhyam means the personality's presence changes everything. The way he can influence the whole situation like that. Whole situation like that. Immediate impact on everyone. That very presence of Krishna. Very presence of Krishna. Immediate impact on Duryodhana. Immediate impact on everyone else. Everyone else. And in spite of that, Duryodhana didn't learn still. In spite of all this, what happened? And then Krishna even exposed them to the universal form at that time. Isn't it? And after that, Duryodhana says, it is some magic what he is doing. It is some magic, he says. And Duryodhana still did not want to. So this is Duryodhana's misfortune at that time. And it was that Krishna was trying to show to Duryodhana that you have tried to understand that even Duryodhana was doing things because Krishna sanctioned it. Otherwise Duryodhana couldn't do what he wanted to do. All this war was planned in that way. So here, these kind of things always happen. This kind of things always happens. Particularly in the assembly of self-realized people. This will always happen. Once it so happened, one university professor and a friend of him, two of them went to see a great jnani when they went to see. So the university professor never believed in the soul. He wouldn't accept the soul. He has studied science a lot. He studied a lot of science. So he believed in science very much. You know science, how it is. If you study a lot of science, you'll become a scientist, isn't it? That's where all the problem starts then. Then you will, everything you want, equation, and you want tables, and you want statistics to prove everything. If your mind is trained like that, what can you do? There's nothing you can do. So this is what has happened to him. So these two personalities, he was a university professor, he was teaching science every day to people. So he naturally had great resistance to go to see this jnani. The other person was not a scientist, he was an ordinary person. And he was telling him that you come with me, let's go and see him. So this person was, they were friends. So this person, professor said, no, I don't want to see him. They're all bogus anyway. And he said to him that, I know you have a lot of reference for him. He's telling his friend, I can come with you, but I can't do all that what you do there. When you go there, you start paying your obeisances and you start bringing all these flowers, fruits with you, garland, everything when you go to see him, take all these things. I'm not going to do any of those things, he said. He said, fine, that's okay. So he said, you just come with me, he said. So they together we went, and when they went to see this jnani, he was in an ashram sitting there. Underneath the tree, he was sitting there with was rubbing his beard, and he was sitting there. So as soon as these two people got there, this professor paid his obeisances first. First paid his obeisances. And then the other person got stuck. He got a little shock seeing this sudden change in him. So he looked at him. So he felt very awkward after paying obeisances, because only a few minutes ago he said, I won't be paying any obeisances. So what did he say? He said, so I just paid my obeisances because I thought in your presence I didn't want to offend him. Just to keep you pleased, I paid my obeisances to him. This was his answer to that. Now, what happens in all these situations is that you remember that verse. In the verse Krishna is saying, in the next verse also he says, Balam balavadam chaham kamaraga vivarjidam dharma aviruddha bhudeshu kamosmi bharadarshava. All these verses are connected. You have to see the person's consciousness behind it. Earlier Krishna says, Bijamam sarvabhudanam vidhi partha sanatanam buddhi buddhimadam asmi tejas tejasvinamaham. We are talking about this tejas tejasvinamaham. What does tejas means? When Krishna went to see Duryodhana, Duryodhana got up. Similarly, this professor and this his friend went to see this jnani. Professor paid obeisances first. Before his own friend who has brought him, he has not paid obeisances. Before that, he paid obeisances first. So, the fact is this, that this person who came, he went and sat there in front of this jnani. So, the jnani didn't say anything, he just looked at him. And our friend who brought him, he asked this professor, if you've got any questions, you please ask. You please ask him and see what answer you get, he said. So, because people have this understanding that question answer is the solution to all the problem. So the solution, he also asked this question. If you ask the question and he will answer you, he said. So, so he thought, let me try out some question with him. So his question was that what happens after death? That was his question. What will happen after death? And you are in a particular state. This question anybody can ask, isn't it? What will happen after death? Now, if I ask this question to 10 people, 10 people give 10 different answers. Is it not? So he thought that let me understand from him what's his understanding after death. So he thought the answer, because most of the time when person asks a question, he already knows the answer. The question is only asked to see what's happening from the other side. So he asked this question, he said, he expected an answer that either you will get liberated or you will continue to transmigrate from one body to another, or nothing will happen. There's only one or three options you can have. Either you will get liberated, best option. Second option is that you will accept another body and suffer through another life, continue with material body again. Or the third answer, nothing will happen, everything is finished. Either of these three answers only you could expect from that question. So you already know the three answers. It's one of those three only. So the jnani didn't answer anything. He kept quiet. About 15-20 minutes, he just looked at him, not saying one word to him. So, and finally, he asked this question. The question was this, like that. What do you mean by the state? What do you mean by the state? The question was like this. In a state, you are in a particular state. And what will happen at the time of death? You are in a state. State means that, say, in a coma state. That's a state, isn't it? A coma state. If you die, what will happen after death? This was the question. So he asked the question back, what do you mean by a state? What do you mean by a state? So immediately he couldn't answer that question. The reason was that he didn't think properly before he put that question in front of him. Because if you say that the question is related to the body, everything is a mistake. Because body is concerned, if you say about the state, this person has not accepted the soul. You have to remember that. If you say that the question is from the state of the body you are asking, that's a stupid question. Because what will happen after the state? The body has to be burned and finished everything. Is that a question to ask? It's not a question to ask at all, isn't it? So, if you are asking from the platform of the soul, that means you have already accepted the presence of the soul in the body. Only then he realized, because he was constantly declaring that there is no thing called a soul. That was his understanding, and that he stuck to that position, that there is no such thing called the soul. But only when, after he put this question to him, and he asked the question back, what do you mean by the state? Then he started thinking, oh, I should have framed the question in a different way. And he couldn't think about it, because the moment you say everything in relationship with the body, because that is what most of the atheists believe in, isn't it? They are the body. They are the body. And with the body, everything is finished. So what is there to ask any question? The fact that you are asking a question means what happens after the state means that you accept the soul. So he asked that question back to him in that way. So this immediately made him realize that he should have been a little bit more, that he has accepted the presence of the soul in the body. Apparently, by the mercy of that Jnani, at that point he got the realization inside that he has been under great illusion to think that there is no soul exist. Even the presence of the soul is experienced in the association of a self-realized soul. That's why their association is important. That by their very presence, you will experience that presence of the soul in there. In other words, that mundane and material consciousness immediately changes. And it is that person who said later, I came here to conquer, but I was vanquished. I was vanquished. That failure was my victory. And that person later on, he gave up all his school, professor's job, everything, went to Himalayas and engaged in meditation and cultivation knowledge and became a great yogi. And he gave up his body later, after that, after this experience with the Jnani. So these things have happened in spiritual life in many instances, in many people. And here, what is known as Tejas, Tejasvinamaham. This is the Tejas in a person. Tejas in a person. Now, Tejas means it is a powerful force which is favorable, working favorably inside you. Now, in this case, this particular person's case, you can see that the association with the Jnani created a powerful force inside which has helped you favorably in spiritual life. Not the kind of force we talk about controlling others. You see, you can control, so say, suppose I am powerful now, at this moment in time, physically I am powerful. I can control someone who is not as powerful as me. The moment I lose my power, that person can control me. So that will change. But this is not that kind of thing what is spoken. Because that is never complete success either. Complete success either. You can frighten somebody and control them. Or through money. Or through power. You can control others. But here what's happening is, in this particular case, the Jnani who is in that self-realized state, he is able to get into that person and make the change happen there inside him. And that is called Tejas. Able to enter into someone and change that person's whole way of thinking and completely change his decision, what he has made before, and change it in a favorable way, that is called Tejas. Just like Krishna entered, all that decision what Duryodhana made before completely went off that track. Isn't it? How did that happen? Tejas, Tejasvinamaham. That is called Tejas. That means all the realized souls, all the great personal, great devotees, great jnanis, they have this capacity. They have, in a favorable way, they can get into someone and change their decisions. In a favorable way. Not by force. By force, if you do it, it won't last. If you control somebody by force, it won't work. It will only work till the time you have a higher force than the other side. Afterwards, it's lost, isn't it? But this Tejas, Tejasvinamaham, you have to accept, understand it in that way. Otherwise, it will not... So, Krishna says here that the Tejas, Tejasvinamaham. Tejas, Tejasvinamaham. So, we'll read the next verse and we'll stop today. Balam balavatam chaham.
Balam balavatam chaham.
Kamaraga vivarjidam.
Kamaraga vivarjidam.
Dharma aviruddha bhudeshu.
Dharma aviruddha bhudeshu.
Kamosmi bharadarshabham.
Kamosmi bharadarshabham.
Balam balavatam chaham.
Balam balavatam chaham.
Kamaraga vivarjidam. ధర్మ అవిరుద్ధ భూదేషు కామోస్మి భరదర్శభ. అగైన్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ బలం బలవదాం చ అహం కామం రాగం వివర్జితం ధర్మం అవిరుద్ధ భూదేషు కామం అస్మి భరదర్శభ. ఏ వెరీ బోల్డ్ స్టేట్మెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ ద బలం బలవదాం చ అహం కామరాగ వివర్జితం ధర్మం అవిరుద్ధ భూదేషు కామం అస్మి భరదర్శభ. సేస్ ఐ ఆమ్ ద స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ ద స్ట్రాంగ్ డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ ప్యాషన్ అండ్ డిజైర్ ఐ ఎమ్ సెక్స్ లైఫ్ విచ్ ఇస్ నాట్ కాంట్రీ టు రిలీజియస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఓ లార్డ్ ఆఫ్ ది భారత అర్జున. సో దిస్ వర్డ్స్ రిక్వైర్స్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ డిస్కషన్ విల్ టాక్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ టుమారో. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద.